God bless you. Welcome to church today. I'm so glad to be with you all. So glad to see so many of you. My name is Travis. If you're first time here or you're returning guest, just kind of get to know things. Welcome. One thing that we want everybody to know is that we're one church. Everybody say one church. Across the whole county of San Diego, 5 locations. And we got one in Oahu. So we always like at the top of our message or service to say hello to everybody. So want to shout out Rock Church Oahu, San Marcos, City Heights, El Cajon, Chula Vista, everybody joining online here in the building and everybody else. Clap your hands. Welcome your family church. Come on. Say hello to everybody. I don't know what your day was like on the way here. I don't know if there was an argument on the way, getting the kids ready. You're like, get in the car. I don't know how you got here, but I just know that it's already getting better. Can I get a good amen? It's getting better. It's going to get better. And by the time we're finished here today, I believe that someone's going to give their life to Jesus and someone's going to take steps towards growth today to becoming the person that God has called you to be. A shout out today to the over 200 people that have already registered to take a faithful step towards water baptism today. Come on, clap your hands. It's Baptism Sunday right after the service at all of our campuses. And I know that number's gonna grow today and people just going public with their faith and you met Jesus here at church. And the first response, that first next step is your way to become more like Jesus is to get water baptized. So God bless you and congratulations. We're in our third week of our series entitled The Way. And it's all about the importance of becoming disciples who take steps towards growth and transformation. And we kind of modeled it along our mission statement. And our mission statement is simply to make disciples who know God, who grow in community, and then go make a difference. And so week one, our pastor introduced something that our team put together called the discipleship pathway. Just kind of, here's what it looks like. If we were all to take steps, it would be like this. I meet Jesus. I get baptized. I go and learn more about our church at Life Class. I go to Encounter and Kingdom Life, and there's all these discipleship steps. These aren't all the steps. This isn't the only way to become like Jesus. But here at Rock Church, we've decided that these are pretty good. If you do some of this stuff, your life's gonna change. You're gonna grow. And so week one, Pastor Miles introduced this, and we were calling it the zigzag pathway. I don't know what you want to call it. It's the discipleship pathway. And then the second week, which was last week, Pastor Miles talked to, how do we know God intimately every single day? And he taught us this thing he called the marvelous morning. And then, man, I just want to start every single morning with Jesus, with the Lord. Get a chair, get a spot, get your blanket, get your coffee, get your book, whatever you need, get your Bible, your word, and just have time with God. Once you meet him, we want you to know him as intimately as possible. Start your day that way. That was week two. Today is week three, and I'm talking about growing in community. And one of the ways, or part of the way that we grow is just to admit and be honest about where we are today. If I want to grow and be here tomorrow, come on, I need to know where I'm at today. And so here's what we did. I want you to get your phones out. Everybody get your phone out if you can. Permission to get your phone out at church. All of our campuses, Oahu, everybody joining online. People behind me. By the way, I got friends behind me. We got some young adults. We got some students. We got married people. They're representing the people who are in community with us today. And so you can get your phones out if you have them, but I want you to get that out. We made a spiritual health test, spiritual health assessment that you can take right now. Matter of fact, get your phone out. I'm gonna do it with you. And you can scan that QR code or you can text next steps to 52525. And there's a series of questions. And this is for you, really. It's kind of if you had to say, hey, where am I right now? I know God, if today's all about growing in community. Am I growing? Or where am I starting from? Because I know there was somebody at the club last night and you were just like, bow, bow. You were, I'm glad you're at church. And so you get to rate yourself. Where am I on a scale 1 to 5? 1 is just, I was at the club last night. I just barely made it here. They dragged me here. I'm a 1. Or 5 is, man, I'm thriving in some of these areas. And you don't have to do this, but it's for you. And what we're gonna do as a church is, we're gonna do this again next year and we'll be able to see, hey, here's where we were together. We're about, 4 in this area as a church. We were 2 and reading our Bibles every day. But this time next year, we may be a 3 or a 4. And it's, numbers are important. They're not everything, but it does help us measure. Are we being effective? Are we sharing the right things with you? Are you taking steps along the discipleship pathway to know God, to grow in community and make a difference. Does anybody need 30 more seconds to do that? I want you to do that, take it home with you, save it there. I'm gonna pray for us and we'll jump into the rest of our message today. I want you to bow your heads with me, all of our campuses, everybody online. Lord, thank you today. This is your day. And so we'll rejoice, we'll be glad in it. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here, that you're in the room, you're filling us. Would you speak through your word? Speak through me. Make us more and more like Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Everybody said, amen. 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 Hey, thanks for doing that. Thanks for taking that little spiritual assessment. This past week, I got a little bit sick, and I knew I had to write my message, and usually I'll start in the, you know, earlier in the week, and I get some ideas and put my notes together by a certain day. And there was a moment where in my sickness, I was just groggy, and I had writer's block. Anybody that ever have to write anything, maybe for an assignment or a test, you're just sitting there, you're just like, nothing's coming. Nothing good is coming. And so all I can think about was I'm just going to scroll Instagram, I guess. And so I'm scrolling the gram and feel like the Lord gave me a video that I want to show you here in a second. It's going to help set up where we're going for the rest of our time. But it's a video of a guy named Jacob. And Jacob is a musician and he goes around the world, the country, touring. And everywhere he tours, in between his concert or at the end, he turns his audience into a choir. Now, these aren't people who have good singing voices. These aren't people who have experience singing in choirs. But he has skills and he's gifted and he turns them into one corporate beautiful choir. Let's take a look and we'll come right back. Isn't that pretty good? Isn't that cool? Okay, let's all try it. I'm just kidding. I don't even know what he was doing, but somehow everyone followed along. All the campuses are like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Here's what I know. There's at least 50%, probably a whole lot more than that, that are just awful at singing that were in that audience. All right, we don't need to raise our hands and admit how good we are at singing or divide the room. And I think I'm not like the worst. I'm certainly not the best. I'm probably better than you. I'm just kidding. But there was at least half that were really bad. And some maybe were sprinkled in that were good. But together, isn't it amazing that they sounded incredible? It's as if almost that God knew that together we're better. And here's the principle. When you and I go together, we grow together. When you and I go together, we grow together. And I'll say it this way, because we all have incredible potential, but the very best version of yourself won't be accomplished by yourself. You can do a lot of things on your own, but the very best version of you, the you that God has destined you for, the you that God has purposed and planned for your life was designed to achieve your greatest and highest potential in a community together. And I want to teach this to you in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. And I'll set it up for you before we go there. It's a story about three young men whose faith is tested, but because of the community that they had with one another and the Lord, they make it through, and in the end, they grow together and are promoted. The story goes, there's a king, crazy wild king. His name is King Nebuchadnezzar, and he creates a golden statue, and he sets up this statue as an altar and to kind of celebrate himself. And he gets all the officials in the nation and everybody around Babylon. He calls them together and he says, here's what we're going to do. I made this golden altar statue, false idol in my honor. We're gonna play music and get all the best instruments. And every time you hear the music, I want everybody to bow and worship me. Bow to the idol in honor of me. But the punishment for not bowing down to this golden altar statue was death by a fiery furnace. And everybody would bow. The music would play, and you're gonna see there's different instruments, and they'd play this and play that and play the harp and the lyre, and everybody would bow, except who didn't bow? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, because they worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they don't bow. Here's how the story continues, because King Nebuchadnezzar is furious, picking up in verse 13. Daniel chapter 3, verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I've set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn and the flute, the zither," by the way, anybody play the zither at church today? No? Just want to make sure anybody plays the zither. I didn't think so. "The lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music. If you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." It's very clear by reading the story that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in agreement together. At least at the point where we're reading the story, because they get up and they say it together. We, our God, we will not. And they stand up and they tell King Nebuchadnezzar, "We've made a decision. This is a group project. We're in it together." Anybody ever had a group project in high school before? Right? Are you all right? Some of you love group projects because you were the one that brought everybody else down. Some of you hated the group projects. Come on, San Marcos, because you were the best one in the group and everybody drug you down. But if you're in a group project, the people that were less than or tempted to kind of slack off or not show up or not pull their weight were elevated because of the group. Come on. That's what happens in the story. And in a story like this, and I don't know this for sure, but if I use my imagination and the situation and the fire and the furnace and the pressure, and just because we're all human, I can't help but think that at one point, either Meshach, Shadrach, or Abednego, one of them was tempted to bow down. Now, it's not in scripture, so I'm just using my imagination. Like, what was that moment like? What was that moment like for a moment where in my humanity, in my flesh, and here's what I would have done. I would have been, "Achoo!" I didn't bow. I sneezed. The Lord knows my heart. Or because I like music, the music would have played, and I would, "Fellas, here's all we got to do. Just get a little bounce, and we're just going to bop, 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 bop. Bring it back, 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 back. It's a little dance. I didn't bow. I just liked that song he was playing. It was the zither. I liked the song." But the group says, no. We will not compromise, even in the midst of the fire. And what did they tell King Nebuchadnezzar? "No, we don't need to defend ourselves. We will not bow down to you. We will not worship you. We will be protected by our God. We are not afraid of the fire." And I wonder how many people came to church today and you're walking through fire. You're walking through a divorce and it feels like fire, like a fiery furnace. Your son, your daughter has a drug addiction. You haven't seen them in months. You don't know where they are. You're dealing with a broken heart today. You came to church. You barely made it. You're here. You're just crying out to God. "God, I feel like I'm walking through a furnace. You might as well throw me in the furnace because I don't even want to be here." God wants you to know that you were never, ever meant to walk through a fiery furnace on your own. He's given you a community of believers, the church, to come around you and hold up your arms so that when you walk through your fires, you can tell your fire, "No, my God will deliver me. My God will deliver me from the divorce. My God will deliver my son, my daughter from the addiction. My God will deliver my anger. He's gonna deliver me from my anxiety." Is there anybody at one of the campuses today that can thank God? Come on, clap your hands if you believe we serve a God that can deliver you from any fire that you go through. It doesn't matter what it is, but my God has the power to deliver me. When we have a community, our community stands with us and says, no, no, we won't bow. I won't compromise. I won't do that. I'm going to stand and I'm going to walk through this thing that I'm in with God because he has the power to deliver me. And in verse 19, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. And he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. And he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, firmly tied, fell into the blazing. The king is so mad. He's so angry. He says, no, do it now. Get the strongest men. Turn up the fire 7 times. It was already set to deadly. It is now deep fried and extra crispy. I don't want nothing left. I want them to just get close to it and I want them gone. It's so hot that the strong men that bound up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they throw them into the fire, they themselves were consumed and died. That's how hot the heat was. That's how angry King Nebuchadnezzar was. But look what happens next. In verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, wait a minute, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, but look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of the Most High God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, the royal advisors, they crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. I turned 40 2 weeks ago. We had a little party. It was a bigger party than, it wasn't little, it was big. We had tacos and churros, and you could smell the taco guy and the churro guy from 3 blocks down. In fact, everybody that came to the party smelled like tacos for the next 3 days. Everybody. Because it was too much, it was smoke, and it was just tacos going, and pop, 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 carne asada, and it was everywhere, churros, and it was incredible. Is anybody hungry? No? Tacos next week. Come on, it's coming. You just smelled like it, but not these guys. There was no hair singed. There was no smell. There was nothing burnt on their robe, their turban. Nothing happened. Why? They were in community with Jesus walking with them. They went through the fire untouched and unfazed as if it never happened. In verse 28, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, of Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces. Like, that's a little bit crazy now. Like, we were just good being let go, but okay. Cut them in pieces. And their houses turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. And we're still saying that today, that no other God can do what Jesus has done for you. No other God can live the life that you were supposed to live, die the death that you were supposed to die, rise from the grave on the 3rd day, forgive your sin, give you the Holy Spirit. No other God can do what Jesus has done. The same thing they're saying then is what we say now in verse 30. Then the king promoted, everybody say promoted. Then the king grows them. God promotes them. He promotes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Here's the principle one more time from earlier. When we go together, we grow together. God is trying to promote somebody today at one of our campuses. Maybe it's in El Cajon. Maybe it's someone watching at a later time, later this week, and you're on your way to work. You're coming home. There's somebody here in the room today. Maybe someone behind me that God is saying, I want to promote you. I'm trying to grow you, but I don't want to do it alone. I want to do it in community. I want to use the community of God and the people of God. If you're going to become the person I've destined you to be, called you to be, appointed you to be, the person I've dreamt for you to be, always designed you to be, you got to do it together. And so I want to give you some reasons to grow in community today. Here's the first reason to grow in community. Number one, Jesus is in the community. I think that's a pretty good reason. He was in the fire and he's in the community today. In fact, we've gathered because it's all about Jesus. Jesus is our message. He's the main thing and always will be. Matthew 18, 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Now, here's what I want to point out. If it's just you and God, he's still there. In fact, this verse is about discipline and people not getting along. They come together and they agree to get, God's there. He's blessing that. But it stands alone. That where two or three people come together and they're gathering in the name of Jesus, God's there. And so can you go to the gym and grow? Yeah, your muscles and your cardio, but maybe not spiritually. Can you go to work and hang out with your coworkers and that be a community? Yeah, and you'll grow in your job, but maybe not spiritually. But I wanna go to the places where I know we've gathered under the name and over the name and around the name centered on Jesus, because it's there that I know I can grow spiritually, I can grow emotionally, my marriage gets better, I become the person God has called me to be. I'm walking the discipleship pathway. I'm gonna know God, and once I know him, I wanna grow in him in this beautiful community. Knowing God, if you don't know already, some of you come every single week, knowing God happens every week. You can do that sitting in rows, but growing a community, that happens in circles, just like this one. I got my friends behind me here. I got you out here. We want to get in circles. So really the question is, who's in your circle? Because if Jesus isn't in that circle, I don't know that's a circle or a community that's going to help me grow. We want to get in the community because Jesus is in the community. Here's the second reason. Number two, people know your name. The second reason we want to grow in community is because people know your name. And you may be saying, well, they don't know my name. They don't know my name, Rock Church El Cajon or Oahu. They don't know my name. Well, maybe that's because you're not in community. Because I know the names of people in community. I know the names of people here. I know the guy, this is Ethan. Ethan's going to help me at the end. I got Gia over here. Gia's going to help me at the end. I met James and Dominique. These guys are getting married on October 27th. Come on, clap your hands. They're getting married. Hey. Dominique just trying to protect you. That way no one's looking at James in the back like, ooh, who's that? Nope, taken. I know their names. Last week, I wasn't here. I was at the 9 o'clock service. I was at our City Heights campus. Shout out City Heights. City Heights, that's how they do it. At 11 o'clock, I was at Chula Vista. When I pulled up, got out of my car, I walked up to the campus at City Heights. I was greeted by a few of our team members who serve in our safety team. And one of the ladies walks up to me right away and goes, "What's my name?" Because they already know. I try to remember names. I try my best to know you and the people that serve in our team and in our groups. There's just so much power in a name. It makes the big church feel small. She goes, "What's my name?" And I've been learning it. And what I tell people is, if I don't say your name to you first, you tell me your name until I tell it to you first. And so what's my name? Her name is Samise, by the way. Sounds like Denise, by the way. There's a whole story behind that. I'll do it quickly. Samise was dating her now husband years ago. But she didn't know if this brother was gonna make it, so she said, "My name is Denise." Later, he passed the test. She goes, "Listen, my real name is Samise." Shout out Samise in City Heights. And I go, "Oh, Samise, I know another woman that serves here. She's part of our team here in Point Loma, super fan. Her name is Larice." Okay, now we're getting confused. She goes, "Oh, I know Larice." And Samise says, "You tell Larice that Samise says hello." I said, "Okay, wait a minute. Messing me up a little bit. There's so much power in knowing a name. And if people don't know your name, my challenge to you is to ask, is it because you're not yet in a community? You're knowing God in the rows, but you're not yet in the circle. You gotta grow in community. Here's the third reason to grow in community. You understand God and your understanding of God grows. Your understanding of God grows. I love Ephesians 3 verse 17. It says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power," what? Together. How? together with all the Lord's holy people, with everybody, all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that is beyond knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So I can know God a little bit. But I hear it every week that somebody, even today, is gonna give their life to Jesus at one of our campuses here in Point Loma. And they're gonna make a decision and they're gonna say, man, I don't know what happened. All I know is that I've been living a jacked up life. Things haven't been going well. I desire change. I heard about Jesus, that he has the power to forgive my sin and that he loves me, and I want that. But I don't know exactly what just took place. But I feel it, the presence of God. Is there anybody that can help me understand what just happened? You need a community to help you take your next step so that you can know God and then grow in this beautiful community. In fact, it happens in young adult groups like these guys right here. It happens in our student groups. It happens with married folks that are going to the marriage getaway. They get together and we break out in groups and we talk. In fact, there's even a group leader training today at 1:30 here in Point Loma. You can get here after service. You can view it later at your campus. There's ways to lead a group, get in a group. It happens there, it happens in groups. It happens in people serving in teams everywhere. Wherever people are helping you connect to grow and helping you to connect with God, that's where you wanna be. Here's the fourth reason to grow in community. You're cared for and you care for others. The fourth reason, you're cared for and you care for others. I was met by a guy named Jesse a few weeks ago, and he DM'd me on Instagram, and he wore me out. And if you've ever DM'd me on Instagram, you can wear me out eventually, which means that he wore me out, and I eventually said, okay, I'm gonna help you out. I can't help everybody, it's a big church, and we do our best to help and meet the needs of everybody, but he kept hitting me up, and then he caught me one day after service, said, hey, I'm Jesse, I'm the one that's been in your DMs. I'm like, wait, bro, wait a minute. And he said, listen, there was a guy that attended our church. He just passed. His name was Dr. Mark. And he sat right over here every single Sunday, and he was faithful to come. He was faithful to give. He was older, so he couldn't serve, but he was a faithful man of God. And he cared for me, talking of Jesse. Mark, Dr. Mark, cared for Jesse in the beginning of his faith. When he was learning to understand what was God doing in his life, he said, he took care of me. He passed this week, and his service is in a couple days. I now want to do the same for him and care for him. He doesn't have a whole lot of family. There isn't a big service. In fact, we don't know what we're doing, but Pastor, would you be willing to show up and help us do the service? And so at the last minute, I was able to do it, move some things around, and it was beautiful. Not because of anything I did, but more because of what Jesse and his family and the families did for one another. You wanna know why we wanna grow in community? Because you are cared for and you get a chance to care for others. Here's the fifth reason we wanna grow in community. You learn to love others the Jesus way. Because you all know there's another way to love people, the world's way. And usually that's just get out of here. I don't wanna talk to you. I don't wanna see you, the Heisman. But no, if you're gonna become the person that God has dreamed for you to become, and you're walking on this pathway to take steps toward Jesus, and God's got this picture of you, and you're gonna, man, I wanna become this greatest picture of who God is, that I'm gonna grow in community. And that means I'm gonna deal with people that I don't always get along with, I always know. I gotta learn to love others the Jesus way. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 2 says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Everybody look up here. You need to know, if you get one thing today, hear this, you have been called by God. That's not an exemption for a few people or the person that comes every week. If you're here today, you've been called by God. God has a calling on your life. And so Paul writes, you've been called by God. Live a life worthy of that calling. And here's what it looks like. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Woo! Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. There's a type of love that God gives you because he's called you to live a certain type of way, to know him and then to grow and to become this person that requires you to make margin and allow grace for mistakes and to be humble and patient with people that don't look like you, that people don't sound like you, with people who you don't get along with. I know how to deal with them the world's way. I just don't talk to them. I just ignore them. I just get on them on, I'm a keyboard warrior. I just shout them out in the comment section. No, 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 I do it the Jesus way. I'm humble with them. I'm patient with them. Why? Because I've grown in a community and this community has taught me how to love people and love others different than me the Jesus way. Come on. I got two more and we'll close it. Here's number six, reasons to grow in community. You finally put down roots. I love this one. You finally put down roots. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19 says, and I pray that you being, say it with me, rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. So we read that earlier. This is the beginning of that verse we read earlier. I pray that you being rooted, I'm rooted, I'm here, and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. See, a lot of people are frustrated in your faith and you're frustrated with God. You may be even frustrated with this church or church you've been to and you don't feel like you're growing. That's why you're frustrated. My plea to you is maybe it's because you're not rooted. And maybe you go along living like a potted plant. Anybody got a potted plant in their house? Yeah, I got a potted plant in my house the other day. We moved it. It's been in one place for a long time. When we moved it the other day as we were cleaning the floors, we took this potted plant, put it outside in the sun, thought that'd be cool. It died. I was like, dang. Didn't make it. There are a lot of people living life like a potted plant. You just go from one place to the next, wherever the weather feels best, wherever the worship sounds the greatest. Whatever preacher preaches the best, whatever church meets my needs, whatever parking lot had the easiest way to get there, wherever the coffee was the freest and the best, had the best snacks, I didn't like the ushers, I'm not going there, I'm a potted plant, I'll go from here to here to here, and you're frustrated because you're not growing. You're a potted plant. Watch this. You'll grow when you're planted. You want to grow? Plant your roots. There is no perfect community. There is no perfect church. There is no perfect preacher. There is no perfect person. There's no perfect community, mostly because you're in it. So am I. But pick one. I think this church is a pretty good one to pick. We're trying to make this big church feel small. Knowing your name, coming together, meeting in groups, making friends, plant some roots. Here's the last reason to grow in community. You're covered and you're accountable. That's like a cuss word at church, accountable. I don't like that word. No one likes that word, accountable. You know what that word accountable means? It means able to be counted. I'll say it to you this way. Does anybody know what's going on in your life? Is there anybody that knows your struggle? Is there anybody that knows the pain that you're facing? Does anybody know that you and your spouse had a huge blowout this week? And it's not looking good. But you came in just raising hands and sipping coffee. Does anybody know? One of the reasons we want to grow in community together, because you know God, hopefully. And if you don't, you'll get a chance today. Is that you're covered by your community and you're accountable. And somebody knows what's going on. They can pull you up when you're down. They can pull you out when you're trapped in a mess. They can correct you when you go sideways. They can put wind in your sails and put courage in you when you got nothing left. That's what a community of God does. By the way, the trap of Satan is to pull you away from the very thing God designed you for. And then there in isolation, he can begin to whisper lies and say, that's where you should be because you're terrible. That sin was so bad. You can't let them know you struggle. You're the leader. You can't know that. Let them know that you and your spouse have a disagreement. They think you're the perfect couple. They all want to be like you. You can't let them know that you got suicidal thoughts. What are your friends going to think of you? This is your last year of college. You're about to graduate. Don't let them know. I'm going to take you off the team. Don't tell them. And there is where he convinces you to bow down and compromise. And God says, no, 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 no. Get up. I designed you to be in a community. And in that community, you can look at the fire and you can look at the suicide. You can look at the anxiety, the depression, whatever you're going through and say, my God will deliver me because I'm covered and I'm accountable. Somebody knows. I'm gonna ask Ethan, would you grab the end of this rope here? And Gia, would you grab the end of that rope, stretch it out, and put them like that. There you go. I'm a big fan of documentaries, and specifically one that stories that I really enjoy and admire are documentaries on people that do great feats or climb to great heights. And so there's a story about people that go to Mount Everest, one of the highest peaks in the world. And at the very top, there is no oxygen. You can't breathe. And people die all the time trying to climb Mount Everest or trying to climb K2, one of the highest places in the world. But you know where people die the most? They die here. This is called the Ladder of Death crevasses. And these are great chasms between the glaciers or the ice where people have to go across. Do you know what they use to get over them? A ladder from Home Depot. Someone bought that at Lowe's, was like, yeah, let's just bring it up there and lay it out. It's a great idea. It's not at the top where there's no oxygen. It's right here. But if you notice where this guy's going by himself, there's slack in his rope. And so he's decided, I'm going alone. I'm gonna go over the deepest, darkest, scariest part of the entire climb where most people die and don't make it alone. And I'm gonna try to go over it, and he thinks he can do it. This is what most of you are trying to do. You're trying to go through life in the darkest, worst, greatest chasm, hardest part of the climb of life alone. But here's what the best people do. They go together. And this is what it looks like. They get these clamps, and they say, you know what? You in the end there, and you behind me here, pull the tension, and I'm gonna walk this life, and I'm gonna take a step. And I can take hard steps because the tension is tight. And if I go left or if I go right, I'm here because you're with me. And this is a picture of God's community. I can take the hard step through the fire. I can go through the divorce. I can make it through the death in my family. It doesn't make it easy. Doesn't mean that I'm not walking through it. Doesn't mean that I'm not human, I don't feel it, but I'm not alone. I can do hard things because we're together. And that's the story. You can put those down. That's the story. Is that when we go together, what? We grow together. That's the story of God's community. And you and I were meant to know God, but it doesn't stop there because I am on a path, a disciple's path, to know him and then grow in community. Take a step. Take a step. So here's the challenge, the invitation today is everybody, take a step, but don't do it alone. You can take hard steps. You can take scary steps. In fact, over 200 people after this service at your campus are taking a step to go public with their faith. To some people, that's scary. And I applaud you. I champion you. And I'm gonna be out there here in this campus waving you down and giving you high fives. You're taking a faith step. It's incredible. But bring somebody with you. Tell the person that came with you, like, hey, maybe you should get baptized too. Or next Saturday, we have something called Encounter. It's a one-day ministry. It'll change your life. It's a day of healing, day of worship, day of forgiveness. Tell the person next to you, when you leave here, call someone and say, hey, you know what? I think I'm gonna take a step today to grow, but I'm not going alone. I want you to come with me. Would you grow together with me? Let's go to Encounter. Let's start a group together. Let's go to that one thing. I mean, I come on Sundays and I'm here, I get to know God, but I think this is time for me to start becoming the person that God has always called me to be. I'm taking a step and I'm not doing it alone. I got guys in my life that help me do that. On Fridays, I have a group and we connect and we text and we call and we work out. The workout's great. But we say, hey, how's your marriage? What are you looking at? How's your thought life? What are you struggling with? How can I help you become better? And I've given them permission to ask me those same questions. I ask them, they ask me. I'm not gonna go in my marriage alone, I'm going together. Because if I go together, I can grow together. Why don't you bow your heads, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you today that we do not have to go on this journey alone. Thank you that we can take steps of discipleship to know you, to grow together in a community, and then ultimately make a difference. That's next week. And so, Lord, we just pray a blessing on everybody taking a step today, but there's somebody here or listening to this message at a later time that needs to take that first step, which is to know you, to give their life to you. And so as everybody's heads are bowed and as your eyes are closed or wherever you are, if you need to make that decision today and take that first step to know God, the decision to trust Jesus, I want you to pray this in the quiet of your heart. You can just pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner and I admit that I need help, but I believe that you love me. I believe that you lived and died for me and you have the power to forgive my sin and the power to make me a new person. And so I invite you into my life today. Come be my Savior. I believe in you and I love you. Thank you that you love me. As everybody's heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you prayed that prayer today, to take that first step. In a minute, I'm gonna count to three. I just want you to raise your hand up so I can see you at all of our campuses. I wanna pray for you on the count of three, hands going up. One, two, three, hands up all across the room, all of our campuses, awesome. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Awesome, 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 awesome. Put your hands down. Lord, thank you for every hand, thank you for every decision today, thank you for every step that will be taken for your glory. Make us more and more like your son, Jesus, the one that you've called us to be, a disciple of your son. It's in Jesus' name we pray. The whole Rock Church family said, amen. 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 Come on, let's clap our hands, church. And let's thank the Lord for his word.